Yes, hello everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. Today we're going to talk about yoga and sexuality. And I have the best guest to talk about this because David and Rebecca are a committed couple for 6 years now. They're also married. They're both professionals with higher education degrees. They met on a college campus. And most recently, for the first time ever, they did a sex education DVD for the Sinclair Institute. 12 ways to boost your libido and 10 ways to go longer and stronger. And this was a great departure for you, Rebecca and David, to do something like this. And we're going to talk about that experience, but welcome to this program. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, thanks,
Diana.
Very much.
And I wanted to, before we get into the specifics, they have advice and tips for people with the benefits of Tantra, yoga, and sexuality. I just wanted to give you all a, kind of an overview, just to set the scene. The ancient science, Tantra, yoga, is really akin to a, like having a dual degree in physiology and philosophy. So you apply this to your sex life, and just really some practice can turn both of you into gurus of pleasure, because it can help with flexibility, improve female orgasm, improve male staying power, delay ejaculation, and bring you more in sync with your partner. That's a lot of good stuff about your sexuality. Wow. Mm-hmm. The word yoga means union, and it is easy to see how sex and yoga can really unite your bodies and your spirits. So what I found interesting, too, is that science has begun to clarify some of the inner mechanisms. They've been able to measure sharp rises in testosterone. They can measure that fast breathing increases blood flow to the genitals and enhanced feelings of pleasure and satisfaction. So there are lots of good benefits because sex is the life energy that flows through the body. And its energy centers, which are called chakras in the field, the heart, the head, the pelvis, and so on. So people can learn to channel this energy and ride it to maximum pleasure. And that's what you two have been doing, David and Rebecca. And you do it so well that you decided to take it on DVD or be filmed doing it. We're going to talk about that, I think, in the second half, what you learned, what it was like. Mm-hmm. But do you want to just say something briefly about kind of this departure that you managed to do in order to film for Sinclair Institute?
It was a little bit of a challenge, I suppose, to wrap both of our heads around the idea of doing something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But the people at Sinclair were so very open and honest about their intentions and made us feel, very secure and safe. And so, after much discussion between Rebecca and I, we decided that this would be a good thing, both for us and even more importantly for a lot of other people out there that can benefit from these techniques and just being, the open and honesty with sexuality.
Yeah, we learn so much visually, and that's why I have narrated a number of Sinclair Institute sex education films over the years. And I know from loaning these DVDs to my clients that they report back how much they've learned. Yeah. So, when we talk about sex and yoga, breathing is such an integral part to this, and I've occasionally given my clients synchronized breathing exercises where they look at each other and they breathe through their bellies and synchronize their breath with their partner. I need to take a sip of water here. I'm just at the tail end of a cold. Okay, so this is important, isn't it? The synchronized breathing and oxygenating the body. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I really like the synchronized breathing. For me, that's a really positive. The technique that grounds you, I think, especially like sort of from a woman's perspective, if I may generalize a little bit, sometimes it's hard to sort of disconnect from your day and all the things that you have to do and reconnect with your partner. And to look deeply into somebody's eyes and get something as basic as your breathing into sync with your partner, like all of a sudden you're really paying attention to them. It diverts your focus from anything else that might be bothering you, and suddenly you are very present. And for me, the synchronized breathing is lovely for that. It really is a very effective technique.
And you mentioned the soul gazing and looking into each other's eyes, and perhaps you touch hands and breathe in sync so that you can merge those energies of your heart and the pelvis.
Yeah, perhaps touching, perhaps not, like you mentioned. It's nice to have the physical touch. I find it very reassuring to have like my hands on David's shoulders or something along those lines. But to look at somebody making that uninterrupted eye contact, it's not always easy.
And no.
I think for myself, I mentioned in another conversation we had that was something that probably the first year of our relationship, I couldn't really do. I was a little skittish about doing that. And then gradually, as I came to really trust David, and it didn't seem like a foolish thing to do, to gaze into his eyes like that without cracking up, it got easier and easier. And now it's just, I just love it. That's just that's a visceral touch that I get from him just looking into his eyes. So that's a neat part of it.
Does it in some ways feel like you've accelerated the intimacy by doing that?
Indeed.
Yes.
You really
the emotional intimacy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exposing yourself in a vulnerability that few of us really do with other humans throughout the day. So it's can be a little bit scary at first, but it builds up some of the trust between people and becomes almost like a two-person meditation in some ways.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that, a two-person meditation. And I think it's useful if you're going to do that to even process it afterwards. I mean, of course, I'm saying this with my therapist hat on because I get couples to do this. So what feelings came up for them as they did this after they've been soul-gazing, looking into each other's eyes? And that can be revealing. And Rebecca, you said how in the beginning it was a little scary for you.
Yeah.
So the circular breathing can also be called, as far as I know, I want to check this out with you, circular breathing. And that's where one of the couple holds their breath as the other one continues to breathe until one is breathing in and the other is breathing out. Is that also called circular breathing?
That's how I've heard it described, yeah.
And benefits of that?
I think it is similar in that you do have to focus your attention on your partner. But there is a... I don't know. I tend to not get too much into the New Agey idealism, but I do feel like I'm breathing in his warmth and his energy.
Oh, that's
when
lovely.
I'm doing that. Yeah, his essence, if you will, just feeling that, and then you really have taken something of that person into yourself. And so that's you could certainly draw a parallel to the sex act, but it's also just accelerating. I think was the word you used. That was really a good way to describe it. It does accelerate the intimacy as well.
That's David. Did you have something to add?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. It can accelerate things, but it can also sort of, I suppose, like draw you back into the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so some of the techniques, maybe we're going to touch on a little bit more, but, you know, it can help to slow down your body in some ways and actually pay attention to other feelings than the ones that are just happening between your legs.
Yes.
Right.
And you know, that's right, because, and that's why I get couples as their homework to do the sensate focus to, and the first week or two, there's no intercourse allowed. They touch all other parts of their body. Because some people just get stuck between the legs. That's where they go. That's where they mm-hmm. focus. And they leave out all these other really potentially terrific erogenous zones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, indeed.
What a waste.
Yeah. Yeah. I also wanted to talk about that yoga, tantra, can often centers on the woman's well-being. And lucky me, I have a partner who says, worship your goddess. Or no, worship your woman. Got to get his quote right. Worship your woman, and the goddess will reward you.
Hmm. How enlightened.
He's very enlightened. I feel so fortunate. I reward him all the time. But he... You know, he has enabled me to let my goddess out.
Mm.
And I know when we were talking about this off the air, Rebecca, you said that David brings out the goddess in you.
Absolutely. I think from very early on in our relationship, I felt not just respected, but revered. He really, and not any sort of like pandering, like,
mm-hmm.
David's a manly man. Don't get me wrong.
Mm, yeah.
You know, he's got it going on. But he had such a... he would ask me about boundaries. He would, you know, be very respectful of them and, you know, how about this? What do you think of this? And it was in such a way that you could tell that he had such appreciation for women, me in particular, just thought my body was beautiful. And I don't think I'd have had anybody just like flat out be like in that kind of appreciation of who I am and who I was as a woman and as a partner. He blew me away. And so as a result, I've gotten more and more comfortable being a sexual person with him. Like really bringing that. Yeah. We both win indeed.
Yeah. It's very important in order to bring the goddess out for the man to compliment his partner, to say, you know, you are beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and your body is beautiful, and you're so responsive to me.
Yeah.
And that really helps the woman relax, as you've alluded to. I think that patience and compassion for men in particular, if they can attend to the woman's sexual response, they're mm-hmm. really probably more important in bringing women to a high state of physical ecstasy and emotional release, you know, than any more superficial measure of physical endowment or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah, that patience.
Yeah,
that
patience.
Compassion. Mm-hmm. Compassion. Mm-hmm. Slow things down.
Yeah.
Yes. David, did you want to contribute anything more to this idea of the goddess array?
I like your message, certainly. It's,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think if the men can find it within themselves, not to be shy, to actually... You know, like you say, recognize that their partner, that their woman, and has such potential and beauty. You know,
mm-hmm.
that frees them from boundaries as well. And you know, if there's, you know, I think it's maybe just like a weakness issue, maybe in some ways, to withdraw from that and to not let yourself be honest about how you're feeling with your partner. You know, and you'll find it's very rewarding when you actually open up. And become honest with those feelings that you have, and let them shine, because you will be rewarded, you know, both of you will, you know, through this, you know, if it's physically or emotionally, and it gives you, you know, a lot of strength in your relationship with each other. So
I think in the process, you're by doing this, you're also cultivating kind of open-heartedness.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, probably other people, right?
Yeah, yeah. To your partner, yes, and to other people.
Mm-hmm.
That love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I also wanted to talk about energy orgasms. Energy orgasms, it's about tapping in to the energy flow, and the energy orgasm often defocuses attention from ejaculation and then directs it toward the energetic sensations that are experienced, so that then it makes you as a lover not so goal-oriented. Mm-hmm. And with practice, as I understand it, you can make love for extended periods of time, and you might come close to the point of inevitability, but not going over the edge. So you're like surfing the edge, with just highly pleasurable energetic charge. And some men will say that they enjoy this as much as the ejaculatory orgasm, that they can have orgasms, but in a sense they're dry orgasms.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, ejaculation, you only last a few seconds for the most part.
Yes.
So, you know, being able to stay away from that for a while is, you know, certainly a benefit, you know. It can be mm-hmm. much more, you know, very rewarding. I mean, going back to the, you know, the meaning of tantra even, you know, I mean, basically it's an idea that everything in the universe is sort of like an expression of the divine. So, you know, using that sexual energy to kind of, you know, open up your consciousness, you know, and not just let it loose quickly, you know, no the old term wham, bam, thank you, ma'am kind of thing,
uh-huh,
you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, it can... Yeah, just give you a lot more body awareness as well. So, you know, these things have to play together, I guess. It gives you an idea of, like, what your body can do. And, you know, I think these things can kind of build on each other almost. You know, you grow in both ways, by both being aware of your body and also, you know, trying some of these techniques that will help you to understand how your body works. And, you know, it's like you say, it's about the process and not the goal. So it's certainly it's a lovely journey.
It's a lovely journey, and so many of the women I've worked with over the last 30 years have had problems with orgasm. So we talk a lot about not just focusing on the destination, the orgasm, but to just enjoy the journey, the process,
mm-hmm.
and if you can, and to stay focused and to stay in the moment. Wow! Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would even go so far as to say that the destination is not the orgasm. The destination is the intimacy.
Mm.
It's not, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I guess maybe it's easy for me to say, right? I don't have that issue, but
mm-hmm.
it's, if it didn't happen, just being touched, like David's hands on me, is plenty.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful thing. I could stop there and be completely satisfied. But
beautifully articulated, Rebecca, and lovely. David, you must feel really good about that.
I feel pretty proud, it's true.
Well, the main thing is you have a really good sex life together. It's nourishing, nurturing, exciting, and it's so good that you took that plunge to share it in front of a camera or cameras so other people could benefit.
It was a little scary, I'm not going to lie.
A little scary, and we're going to get more into that in the second half of the show. It seems like, because I read about Desmond Morris's experiment. He was a famous anthropologist, Desmond Morris. And it seems as though his experiment would lead us to believe that playfulness, getting experimental, can increase orgasms. And he took a group of 27 couples. Okay, so it's sort of a small study. But 27 couples, and they were asked to vary their sexual positions experimentally and employ postures that would allow greater stimulation of the two vaginal hotspots. Now, I would say this would be the G-spot and the cervix. And, of course, the clitoris gets involved it can be a blended. But it was found that three-quarters of the women involved in this study were then able to achieve regular vaginal orgasms. And sometimes, well, one of the positions was where the woman put her legs over her partner's shoulders, and then that allowed her man deeper penetration so that her G-spot, her cervix, could get stimulation. So, you know, this study showed that being more uninhibited and playful and less self-conscious are all really important ingredients in freeing orgasms and producing multiple orgasms in women. Hmm. So just experimenting with different positions. A lot of couples don't really think about that. In fact, that's one of the problems for a lot of long-time couples is that they kind of get in a rut.
Hmm. Oh, variety is the spice of life, right?
Right, and it also produces more dopamine, the hormone of arousal, because there's some novelty.
Perfect.
Right?
Right on.
Yes.
They usually say that people have more sex when they go on vacation than they do at home.
Exactly.
You know, because that whole, you know, it's stimulating their other senses, you know, they feel they're in a new place, and that it brings out the uninhibited side of them, which is great. You know, if only they could bring that feeling of being on vacation with them everywhere they went.
Well yes. Of course, being on vacation, you're relaxed, you don't have the agenda that you might have at home, you're making love in a different place, and you're perhaps spending more time with each other talking, so emotional intimacy is enhanced. So all of those things, there's a confluence, and they all happen, and you're more likely to have better sex. Right?
Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I also wanted to talk about the yoni massage and how it might be healing. As I understand it, this is a massage that might be intended to heal the genitals of any wounds from past experiences, so maybe a woman who's had sexual abuse. But it can also really open a woman to greater pleasure. So with the yoni massage, the focus includes the clitoris, the vulva, the G-spot, maybe even the cervix. And it's usually done with fingers, and it's sometimes called the sacred spot massage. Have you ever heard? You probably have, but Charles and Caroline Muir. They've been doing workshops for 25 years, mostly on Maui.
No, but it sounds great.
Yeah.
Go to Maui for that.
And I have a quote, I just need to find it here, from them. And so this is from Caroline Muir. She said, "The awakening of the unconscious and the releasing of energies through the sacred spot massage makes room for a new life of pleasure and love. We have given this workshop for 25 years, and the success of it is not better sex, but sexual healing." Mm. And there are a lot of women that need sexual healing. So a man that can learn how to do this sacred massage can often see the transformation of his woman right in front of him.
That's powerful.
Yeah, it is. Have you gotten into that at all? Maybe you haven't needed to, so.
Forms of that, I think, maybe not with a... You know, it's funny. There's just gentle touch that doesn't need to be, like, going for orgasm or trying to create orgasm. It's just a, well, it's a massage, but it's just, it's a nice touch. I think, for me, that kind of touch has been demystifying in a lot of ways. I mean, with men, they look down and they see, okay, yep, there it is. There's the genitals. But with women, it's like, well, they're down there somewhere. It makes it sound like a basement, you know? So, I think just by having like a gentle, not necessarily goal-oriented touch, it just sort of brings your comfort level up with your genitals in such a way that then you are open to other experiences after that. That's been my experience with that kind of thing that we've practiced.
Oh, and then making you open because you are trusting and you're more relaxed, and so then you're going to be more open to additional experiences.
And an acceptance of your own body.
Exactly.
Right. I didn't really even know that felt like that when that got touched that way. You know, it's like, okay, that's brand new.
You know, that's powerful what you just said, because so many women have body image issues and they reject their bodies and they're difficult, they're harsh on their bodies, they're not kind to their bodies.
Well, the world does not help with that, you know. A lot of our society and things that happen to women, you know, just really tears down that trust and feelings of safety and being able to, you know, open themselves up, reveal themselves, and feel comfortable. You know, it's just it's a rough thing to have to, you know, rebuild that. You know, it seems very prevalent, unfortunately.
So we've come to the half-hour mark, which means we need to take a break. And when we come back, David and Rebecca and I will continue to talk a little bit about tips for people, the benefits of Tantra and yoga, about delayed ejaculation and how it helps with stress and blood flow to the genitals. But we're also going to talk about their experience of being filmed, what they learned, and all of that. And this is really a unique opportunity to talk to this wonderful couple, guests of my show today. Stay with us, please.
Very happy new year to you all, ladies and gentlemen. This is Richard Martin from the Wake Up Call with a quick message about Friday's show. It will be replete with a mountain of interesting facts and statistics, and I think I can guarantee that after you've heard it, there won't be one among you that doesn't think we are in the greatest and most searing depression of all time, bar none. You will hear things you never thought possible about your country, and many of you may be even reduced to tears. It will be a landmark show. Try not to miss it. That's the Wake Up Call Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.
We're back. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. We're talking about tantric yoga sex with a wonderful couple. And actually, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a webinar with David and Rebecca. And you can learn more about that by going to the Sinclair Institute's website, bettersex.com. And so we'll be doing that from 7 to 8 tomorrow, Eastern Standard Time. So this is a little bit of cross, as I come to think of it, as cross-fertilization by doing my show today. But it's such a pleasure to have both of you on. You're knowledgeable and you're articulate, and I think you have a lot to offer. I've never had a show quite like this. And next month will mark 3 years with the Progressive Radio Network for me, and I'm very pleased about that.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. So we promised a listening audience that what about delayed ejaculation? Because this is a tantra kind of thing, a yoga kind of thing. the practice of ejaculation mastery. And so this kind of mastery allows men, they even have firmer erections. This is very good for an aging man, for any man, but to last much longer and potentially to have multiple waves of orgasmic energy flowing through his body without ejaculating. Can you sort of comment a little more on that, David?
Well, I suppose I'll have to. Yeah, I can tell you that there is truth behind these statements, that, yes, you do not have to ejaculate in order to have an orgasm and to experience those feelings, which is a very interesting and rewarding experience to actually figure out that this can be done. I think a lot of it centers on the breathing, actually. You know, like most of yoga and tantra type of things, I think it's the foundation is in the breath. And the breath gives you perspective and something to focus on that can sort of draw your awareness back and sort of like rein in those wild horses that keep wanting to, you know, stampede away with your feelings.
Ah, yes. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. So it's certainly I can say that the you know, breathing and working with those techniques, I think for at least myself, it has been rewarding and has had an effect.
Yes, yeah, and how can the female partner help with this? Because there's also an application for guys that have premature ejaculation.
I know that it's kind of funny when I hear David taking those deep yogic breaths. It's time for me to slow down a little bit.
Good.
Try and help out where I can.
That's a very good technique, and slow down. Yes. I have found in working with couples that the female partner can be contributing to premature ejaculation by the way her own energy moves or doesn't. So she can help him by slowing down, relaxing, maybe even circulating her energy, while encouraging him to slow down, relax, and breathe deeply and slowly.
Yeah, so, I mean, I find for myself that when Rebecca, my partner, is close to orgasm, I start to get close as well, you know. So if I can sort of like try and encourage her to back off a bit, then that means I too can also last longer. And, you know, even though that might be a little bit frustrating at times, it does work. It does work. You know, we're both there in the playing field.
Yes, we're both there in the playing field, the glorious playing field of ecstatic sexuality. And then before we go into your experience of being filmed, I wanted to talk just a little bit about how sex and yoga can really, this approach can help with stress. Because we all know that in general yoga is good for stress because of the breathing, the deep relaxation. And I guess this concentrates blood in the central body, so it's more available to the genitals. You don't, because people who feel stressed have that fight or flight mentality often. So maybe the blood goes to more of their extremities.
And part of it, too, is also stimulating your organs to act properly. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things going on inside our bodies that stress can sort of, you know, tighten up, you know, because there's muscles that work inside there, you know, pushing the food around, excreting different chemicals, and different postures in yoga help to, you know, massage the organs to, you know, release any sort of, you know, kinks, any, you know, that occur, you know, in our systems that we're holding, you know, through stress, and, you know, release chemicals that the body needs to fight that stress and, you know, approach a more, you know, calm demeanor and so forth.
David, since you have through the years gotten more and more into yoga and become a yoga master, is that okay to say?
Well, you can say it, although I wouldn't call myself a master at all.
Okay, but anyway, I'll say it. So do you feel like you've managed the stress in your life so much better?
I still have stressful times, so I'm human, but maybe my role is to help other people deal with their stress as well and try and give them techniques to diffuse the stress. But I would probably be a much more aggressive person without yoga in my life, so I think it has certainly helped to temper bad feelings and help me to grow as a person because of that.
Good. Good. Well, we know stress contributes to sex problems, and sex problems cause stress. So this can become a vicious cycle.
Right.
So yoga can reduce anxiety, so it can enhance sex and help prevent and treat sex problems. It's all a really positive cycle. As I understand it, yoga can also reduce the risk of heart disease by improving arterial blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so all of that's good. All right. We've talked enough about the benefits of Tantra yoga for sexuality. Let's make this a little more personal. What was your experience of being filmed? This was such a new experience, and I first want to know, what did you learn from this?
What did we learn? Where to start? It's a long list.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I have to say it was an incredibly positive experience for me. Mm-hmm. I went in not knowing what to expect at all.
Mm-hmm.
And David and I talked a lot about it in advance, like you mentioned. And one of the things that I was really insistent on is that if I felt any sort of weirdness going on, if there was anything sketchy happening,
uh-huh.
we're gone. No questions asked, we're gone.
Yep.
And he was completely okay with that, of course. And
mm-hmm.
So I went in there feeling like I had a safety net. So knowing that I had that made me willing to sort of be more adventurous, do a little more exploring. I just made an assumption that all women were multiply orgasmic. If I am, all women must be. foolish notion.
Oh, no, Rebecca.
And I also realized that, I mean, I had to sort of come to grips with, okay, this is a very public act.
Mm-hmm.
Am I comfortable being, publicly, I am a sexual person. That is what I've got to come to terms with. And I realized that I am very comfortable with that, and I don't feel really any shame around my sexuality, which was quite a revelation for me. You don't know until you're asked, I guess.
Oh, yes.
So to have that question come up in such a in-your-face kind of way, it's like, well, how comfortable are you? And
you were put to the test, and you passed.
I passed, yeah.
And David, don't you think she passed really well?
I think she was at the top of the class.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, she's a real trooper. I mean, to be able to discuss this with your wife and actually go through with this is quite the... It still sort of amazes me when I think about this, that we actually did this and, you know, that we exposed ourselves literally, you know.
But we have the DVD to prove it.
Yes, and people can go to bettersex.com and purchase that DVD. You know, I think it also says, I've been very happy to be associated with Sinclair Institute for how long? Since, 96. So that's a long time. 94, 96. And because they're so professional.
Mm.
And they use real couples whenever possible. So that the sexual love is transmitted. You certainly don't get that in porn.
Oof. No.
You know, it's just the opposite. And porn is such a bad teacher for men. It's fast. It's sort of impersonal, including some men in porn ejaculating on their partner's face. I mean, it's just, for some women, it feels very degrading. But this is just the opposite. This is loving, and we can learn visually, so you probably taught a lot of people. But was it harder to perform? And now I'm asking this of you, David, because you can't fake an erection.
No, you can't. So
yeah.
I will say, you know, I can say yes. It was harder to perform. You know,
uh-huh.
I've never had, you know, my intimate moments being filmed before, let alone doing it in front of a room full of people that are all,
uh-huh.
you know, they're fully dressed with headphones on and all sorts of, you know, wacky, you know, movie equipment. And, you know, it was a little bit like being under a microscope, feeling like some sort of experiment.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I mean, the set was nice, you know, and everyone at Sinclair treated us with such respect and
mm-hmm.
dignity. You know, I mean, really a group of professional people that, you know, did not scare us in the least. And it was, you know, almost a, well, I guess in a weird way, almost like a family setting that you just felt comfortable that you could, you know, let your hair down and take your clothes off. And, you know, they'd be neither offended or disgusted. And, you know, it was a little bit hard. You know, I thought it would just be a little bit hard.
Yeah.
I thought it would just be easy because I consider myself to be, you know, easily, you know, ready to go, I guess, when the need strikes. And it took a little bit of coaxing from time to time, you know, when all of a sudden I'm like, oh, like, you know, like there's a microphone, there's these cameras, like, you know, they're picking up every little grunt or squeal that we're making here. So it's
mm-hmm.
a,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But once I could focus on Rebecca and, you know, just put myself in a setting of that, like, we're here to enjoy each other and everything external to us is secondary right now, you know, it could just let, like, the natural feelings flow. And it actually turned out to be really, really good. It was almost like, you know, like we were having a date. Or something.
Wow.
Yeah, that is how it felt.
Some very public kind of date, but but some couples are, especially, and I know you're not, we've talked off the air, I know you're not swingers, but a lot of swingers get really turned on by the sort of the exhibitionism of it, that they're being watched. And that's a very natural thing. I mean, you shouldn't feel any embarrassment about that. But did that manifest after the whole experience was over and the sex that you had later? Do you think being watched and then being able to watch yourselves on camera, was that all kind of fun and a turn on?
Well, we had a supercharged sex life for 3 or that's usually pretty darn good, but this was exceptional even for us for 3 or 4 weeks afterwards. And at first I was like, wow, like, is this going to stop or is it always going to be like this now? I mean, it's sort of, you know, we sort of got back to ourselves after a little bit, but there was a lot of adrenaline, and I'm starting to wonder if the adrenaline didn't have something to do with sort of a heightened response as well.
No, I'm
so,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also dopamine. I mean, this was novel for you.
Right on.
Oh, yeah.
Super novel.
Super novel. But was it, just to back up a little bit, to make the decision to do this, I know you spoke earlier in this program about, you talked about it and you had the escape clause, so to speak, mm-hmm. in Rebecca, that if anything felt sketchy to you at all, that you could be out of there, no questions asked. But if you talked about that, were there other kinds of things you talked about, things that were factored in when making a decision to go ahead and take your sex life public?
I think actually talking about it with Sinclair ahead of time, we
mm-hmm.
We set pretty clear boundaries in what we were willing to do and what we weren't willing to do, and they were so open about discussing these things and so respectful of them, as David mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, toys were okay, but maybe some other things were not. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, having that very clear idea of what was going to be happening was helpful to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Step by step, because anxiety comes up when we don't know what's going to happen.
Sure, and I also needed to feel in control of it, and I think having some prior knowledge definitely helped me feel in control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that was nice. It was really nice.
Yes. Did you, you want to keep this as private as possible?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we want to be open with...
Yeah.
But, not, you know, we don't want to
because
be...
Because some of your work colleagues and so on.
Oh, absolutely. No, we're not talking about it with friends.
We're talking about it with you. You know, you're in Seattle, but I'm guessing probably not a lot of people that I know are going to be listening in on the show right now.
Yeah, probably not. Although Progressive Radio Network is heard in many countries around the world since it's internet radio.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And you know what? It's good, too, because it's heard in countries where sex education isn't very good, like India and Turkey. And, you know, so this will help people. I mean, you two are so open that you were able to perform explicitly sexually on film. And you really, you're such an attractive couple. You have beautiful bodies. That's what yoga will do for you.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, of course, Sinclair, I must say, like years ago, and I think it was 1996, I narrated with a urologist, Cully Carson, Couple's Guide to Great Sex Over 40. And one of the things they did was to have one of the couples be overweight and talk about how great their sex life and then show us.
Very cool.
Because, you know, good sex is not reserved for the skinny and the beautiful. Good sex can be had by all kinds of bodies.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that. It's really true.
Yeah.
And that's as people age. This is because, as you know, or maybe you don't, but I'm a gerontologist, so I've specialized in aging and sexuality for a number of years. And so, a lot of people, as they age, they feel insecure about their bodies, and they'll stop having sex. Oh, they stop having sex for lots of reasons, but actually, I think going back to the yoga tantra thing. That slowing down and delaying ejaculation and the woman being more clear about what she wants and the man being more romantic and saying how beautiful she is, that can really help an aging couple immensely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, the body... You know, body negativity is so easy to fall into like that, you know? So being able to just, like, bolster each other up and remind each other that you're still beautiful after all these years.
More beautiful, maybe, huh?
Maybe more.
Yeah.
I mean, some women who've had children will be all focused on their bellies and maybe scars if they had a C-section. And the wise man, the illuminated guy who, I mean, he's evolved. He'll say, no, your scars represent your giving birth to our children.
Right.
And
right.
I cherish you. Mm-hmm. And I love you.
That's great.
And if a man can say that, often his woman will relax and be more... ultimately more accepting of her body, imperfections and all.
And imperfection is such a relative term.
Oh, indeed. I love that you said that, Rebecca. can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I mean, there's certainly things I don't like about my body or would change if I had, you know, if I had to choose. Which is kind of a... You know, I guess what I've been practicing, and David helps make it easy to practice this, is sort of a deep acceptance of those things, whatever those things are. And I am not not what I'd consider a spring chicken at this point either. But I guess I feel more comfortable in my skin now than I ever have. And that a lot of that comes through, like, that deep acceptance, and a lot of it comes through having a loving partner. So,
absolutely. I'm quite a bit older than you are, and I feel the same way. It really helps to have a loving partner, one who thinks that I can be a goddess at times. And so making love in that safe, exciting, stimulating atmosphere. It's setting the scene. I talk about setting the scene quite a lot with my couples. And I guess Sinclair set the scene for you two.
He certainly did. It's quite elaborate, actually, and beautifully done.
Yes.
It was really romantic, actually, for the two of us to come out and somebody had already lit the candles and made the bed and had the flowers. And, yeah, the whole enchilada. It was great.
Yeah.
And it people... You have to do it over and over again, though, to get the right scene, you know? So.
Practice makes perfect.
Exactly. Practice makes perfect. And practice is a pretty important part of yoga, tantric, and sexuality, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know,
to practice.
You know, you got to put in a little bit of time, a little bit of dedication, but the, you know, mm-hmm. the rewards are really infinite, you know, when you take some time to become aware of your body, you know.
What so, David just said, I'd just like to piggyback on that for a second.
Yes, please.
Taking the time, like mm-hmm. how many people really prioritize spending that time with their partner and being sexual with them? It's if it's something that gets shoved to the end of the day when you're both tired and you're both falling into bed, then, mm-hmm. you know, it's not going to have the life that it would if you make that a priority and say, hey, you know what, we're practicing this. This is something that we're actively practicing. And that was actually something that, without putting it out explicitly, David and I included in our marriage vows, that this is a priority for both of us and we're going to practice this.
Oh, that's beautiful, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many couples don't prioritize their sex, and it, you're right, it gets checked off at the end of the to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day when they're both exhausted. And that's why, you know, as hackneyed as it may sound, date nights are really important mm-hmm. where you do focus on each other and you set the scene and you move slowly and you take time.
Mm-hmm.
And to talk to your partner about taking this time, oh, my goodness, speaking of time,
yeah.
come to the end. They like me to stop a couple of minutes, a few minutes before the top of the hour. Thank you so much. You've just been delightful guests who've offered us so much in terms of your knowledge and your experience. And I get to do this again with you tomorrow for the webinar.
Cool.
And
awesome.
That'll be fun. This has been a good rehearsal, right?
Right on. No, this is great. So good to talk to you.
Yeah, it was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. And we'll look forward to doing it tomorrow. And so we'll... Listening audience, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cosa leggerai? Con che libro affascini il tuo cuore? E se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore? Ma i tuoi piedi happy feet, da da da, happy feet, da da da, happy feet.